Welcome to Pitcot Podcast with your hosts Annabelle and Bill Pitcot. Today we are setting aside the usual headlines to do a real deep dive into a topic that I think is often, well, it's pushed to the background. We're talking about vitamins. It's a quiet subject, sure, but its power is really profound. And our mission today is to give you a clear, structured understanding of why these tiny molecules truly matter.
It's such an essential topic.
Yeah.
Especially now. And what we've done is synthesize the core insights directly from Pitcot's comprehensive health research. Specifically, we're drawing from the volumes on the hidden power of vitamin supplements. So this deep dive is really your shortcut to being genuinely well-informed.
That's great. Because, you know, when we talk health, everyone is obsessed with what I call the big three, right? Mm. Proteins, carbs, and fats. We track them, we build our meals around them. But what's always fascinated me is that the process of turning all of that into actual usable energy, it relies entirely on this sort of quiet backstage crew, the vitamins. So my question is, why are these micronutrients, which have zero calories, why are they the ones actually running the show?
That is the perfect question because it gets right to the core misunderstanding. People focus on the fuel, the big three, but they completely ignore the ignition system. Vitamins don't provide energy, but they manage the conversion of that fuel into energy. And if you don't have the managers, the whole metabolic factory just, it shuts down.
And if you're looking for the full blueprint behind that that whole nutritional factory, you can download these best-selling ebooks and more. You'll get access to the entire depth of this knowledge. Just visit www.pitcot.com/books. Seriously, understanding this framework, it changes everything. So let's start with the most basic idea. For decades, the wisdom was, you know, eat a balanced diet and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Why does Pitcot's research stress that even someone who is actively trying to eat well today is probably coming up short? Why are supplements becoming so essential?
Well, it really boils down to two major shifts in, say, the last 50 years. The first is just the reality of modern life. Our fast-paced schedules, our reliance on processed or convenience foods, they're just nutritionally shallow. But the second factor is, I think, even more critical. It's the depletion of the very ground our food grows in.
That soil depletion point is, that's striking. I think a lot of people, myself included, we assume that if we buy fresh produce, you know, we're getting what we need. But you're saying even the most colorful farm fresh salad might not have the same vitamin density it did for, say, our grandparents.
That's precisely what the data shows. Modern intensive agriculture, it prioritizes yield and fast growth over everything else, over soil health. So when you harvest crop after crop without letting the soil rest or rotating properly, its reservoir of micronutrients, think magnesium, selenium, a lot of B vitamins, it gets severely diminished. So you might be eating a huge salad, but the density of those essential nutrients is just, it's significantly lower than it was 50, 70 years ago.
So we're kind of consuming the shell of the nutrient in a way. And that just fundamentally shifts the role of supplements, doesn't it? They aren't for replacing a bad diet. They're for correcting this unseen agricultural deficit. They become that essential backstage crew.
Exactly. It moves supplementation from just preventing old school deficiency diseases, you know, like scurvy, to being an optimization tool for modern life.
But this idea of relying on supplements, it feels relatively new. I mean, if you look back, there was a lot of skepticism, even fear, right? Why were they so often dismissed? And what was the big change in the research that made this such a game changer?
Historically, the scientific community really operated under that if you eat well, you don't need them in mandate. And to be fair, they weren't entirely wrong to be cautious. Early supplements weren't always great quality, and there were genuine concerns about overdosing on certain vitamins, you know, especially the ones stored in the body. The general feeling was that they were just expensive urine, a waste of money, or even worse, potentially dangerous.
But that resistance seems to have just crumbled with all the new studies.
Yeah.
What specific benefits are so undeniable now that they're actually changing the medical narrative?
The change is really in moving beyond just basic prevention to optimizing the whole system. Pitcot's research really emphasizes that high-quality natural supplements are now shown to significantly bolster key health systems.
Mm-hmm.
Take vitamin D, for instance. Many people consider it more of a hormone than a vitamin, and it's now clearly linked not just to bone health, but to improved immune function and even mood regulation.
Wow, that's a huge shift from just preventing rickets to supporting mental health.
Precisely. And we also see strong evidence for the B-complex vitamins, specifically B6, folate, and B12. They play a direct role in regulating something called homocysteine levels. That's a key marker for cardiovascular health. So we're not just talking about bones and skin anymore. We're talking about proactively lowering risks for serious diseases like heart disease and supporting brain function as we age.
Optimizing health really is the perfect term.
Okay, let's get into what I think is the most confusing part for most people. This idea of energy. Someone feels sluggish, they take a B-complex pill, and they assume that pill is giving them energy. That's a huge misconception, right? Can you just clarify that core mechanism? Do vitamins actually give us energy?
The answer is definitively no, a hard no. Vitamins contain zero calories, so they can't provide direct energy like glucose or fats can.
Yeah.
You won't feel that sudden jittery buzz, which is why I think people get confused about their function.
So if they aren't the fuel, what exactly are they doing?
They are the energy managers, the facilitators. Think of them as the coenzymes needed to unlock the energy that's already there. When you eat a carb, your body breaks it down into glucose. But to convert that glucose into ATP, the actual energy currency of your cells, you need this complex chain of reactions. And nearly every single step in that chain requires B vitamins as cofactors. Without them, the glucose just sits there, unusable. And that brings us back to that perfect analogy Pitcott uses, the one about trying to bake a cake without heat. You can have all your ingredients, the flour, eggs, butter, those are your carbs and fats, but the chemical transformation, the cooking, it just doesn't happen without the heat. And the heat, in this case, represents the vitamins, the managers.
It's the activation step. You have all the potential energy right there, but the key component to initiate the reaction is missing. So if you're eating plenty of food, but you feel constantly tired, your body's probably having a management crisis, not a fuel shortage.
Which explains so much. That's why common symptoms of a deficiency are often low energy, dragging through the day, brain fog. Your brain is one of the most demanding organs, and it's basically running on fumes because that conversion isn't happening efficiently.
Exactly. When the body is talking, those are some of the clearest signs.
Okay, so now that we get the mechanism, we have to understand the rules of the game. Storage. Safety. For anyone thinking about this, knowing the difference between the two main types of vitamins is absolutely crucial. So let's break down fat-soluble versus water-soluble.
This is fundamental to smart dosing, right? We categorize them based on how they dissolve and, more importantly, how the body handles them. The fat-soluble group, that includes vitamins A, D, E, and K.
A, D, E, K.
Got it.
And what's the key takeaway for those?
They're stored in your body's fatty tissues and in your liver. That storage ability means they're great for long-term reserves. You don't have to get them every single day. But, and this is a big but, that storage also creates a risk. If you take way too much over a long time, they can build up to toxic levels. That's why you have to be careful and ideally test your levels before you start megadosing something like vitamin D.
And then you have the water-soluble vitamins. That's vitamin C and the whole B-complex family. These are the ones famous for being flushed out, right?
Correct. They dissolve in water very quickly. The body takes what it needs for immediate use, like vitamin C, for immune support or B vitamins for that energy conversion. And then any excess is quickly filtered out by the kidneys. You literally pee out the extra. This minimizes the toxicity risk, but it also means you have to replenish them constantly, like daily.
It really requires some intention, doesn't it? Which is why having a good plan is so important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to explore more resources and comprehensive guides that can help you with this, you can always visit www.pitcott.com.
All right, let's pivot to quality. The research seems to strongly suggest that the source really, really matters. So let's talk about natural versus synthetic. I mean, would you rather eat an orange or a lab-made vitamin C pill? Why is the one from real food so much better?
The term for this is often the entourage effect or the cofactor advantage. When you get a vitamin from a real food source, say vitamin E from wheat germ, it doesn't just contain the main vitamin molecule. It comes with a whole ecosystem of other nutrients, bioflavonoids, and compounds. Those are the cofactors. So the cofactors are like a supporting cast that makes sure the main star, the vitamin, actually gets used correctly by your cells.
Precisely. They work with your biological system. A synthetic vitamin is often just the isolated chemical structure. It might be chemically identical, but it lacks that whole entourage. So the body's ability to recognize it, absorb it, and use it is just, it's significantly lower. In a lot of cases, a synthetic vitamin might only do the job halfway.
That makes perfect sense. The body is designed to process food, not just chemical isolates. All right, let's talk about a specific risk that Pitcott's resources highlight. It targets people who are really going hard on fitness or weight loss, especially those who use diuretics or water pills.
Yes, this is a critical warning. Diuretics cause a fast drop on the scale because you're shedding water, right? But at the same time, you're flushing out essential water-soluble nutrients. It's often an accidental self-sabotage.
So you're losing key vitamins like B12, which you need for your metabolism, and folic acid.
Exactly. You are actively depleting the very managers your body needs to burn fat efficiently and keep your energy up during workouts. It completely undermines your efforts. In those situations, high-quality supplementation becomes absolutely clutch for restoring what you've lost and supporting your body under that stress.
This brings us to the final and maybe most important section: how to do this smartly. We've established the why, the science, the quality. What are the really actionable steps based on Pitcott's framework?
Okay, rule number one, and it always has to be rule number one, is that the word is supplement, not substitute. You can't see pills as permission to just ditch your vegetables. They're here to boost and fill in the gaps, but they should never, ever replace the foundation of whole foods.
And when it comes to the practical side, absorption is everything. Do the resources give any guidance on when or how to take them to get the most out of them?
They absolutely do. A key tip goes right back to solubility. Since your fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, K need fat to dissolve, you should always take them with a meal that has some healthy fats, like avocado or nuts or some olive oil. Taking vitamin D on an empty stomach is just really inefficient. On the other hand, a lot of water-soluble vitamins, especially the B complex, are best taken earlier in the day to support that energy metabolism when you need it.
That's a great practical tip. The second step seems to be about personalization. One size fits all dose probably isn't the best way.
No, absolutely not. You should talk to a professional, a doctor, or a nutritionist. They can look at your blood work, your lifestyle, your goals. A vegetarian, for example, is going to have very different needs for B12 than an endurance athlete. Smart supplementation is always tailored, it's never random.
And finally, just tuning into your own body's feedback. I mean, our bodies are giving us hints all the time.
It's the ultimate diagnostic tool, isn't it? Don't ignore those persistent little cues. Are you noticing your hair thinning? Maybe a lack of biotin? Getting muscle cramps? Could be a magnesium issue. You just have to listen to what your body is talking about and use that information to adjust your plan. It's an ongoing conversation.
All right, so here's the final key takeaway from this deep dive. Supplements are not just some health trend. They are a necessary tool for optimal performance today. They can give that busy parent, that student, or the serious gym goer the edge they need by bridging the gap that modern food systems have left.
And the secret to success, as all of Pitcott's research shows, is consistency, prioritizing those high-quality natural sources and never ever seeing them as a replacement for a solid diet.
So we'll leave you with this final thought. Are you giving your body the managers and the heat it needs to actually convert your food into fuel? Or are you just trying to bake a cake without heat? Maybe it's time to check your vitamin game. We really hope this deep dive gave you the clarity you need to optimize your whole nutritional approach. To learn more about everything we talked about and to explore more guides, just visit www.pitcott.com. And please, if you loved our discussion, press that like button. It really helps the show get seen by more people. Also, make sure to subscribe to our channel if you haven't. And definitely activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Thank you for being there with us.
Thank you for listening to the Pitcott Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.